Great. Well, we're going to look together at that passage that Joan read for us. Thank you, Joan, for reading it. And if you've lost your place, it's page 1218 of the Bibles you were given as you came in. So page 1218. And let's pray for God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed. And we pray, therefore, now that as we come to your word, we would do so recognizing the authority it has over us. Father, please teach us, correct us, train us in righteousness. Father, rebuke us where we need it, and help us to live lives that are in obedience to your word. Amen. Well, we've been saying, as we've been working our way through 1 Peter, and we've come to this next section, we've been saying that you could sort of summarise the view of Peter and what he's trying to teach with our sort of title there. It says, Lonely Planet Guide to Living as Aliens and Strangers in the World. That is Peter's view of us, that we are aliens, that we are strangers in this world. If you remember right back to the beginning of the letter, if you just flick back one page, you see chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world. And if you remember the first sermon in this series, we thought about those two things, that we are elect, chosen by God, and that we are strangers in the world. And you could say all that we have looked at so far in 1 Peter has been focused on the fact that we are elect. What does it mean that we are God's people? And Peter has helped us to look forward and said, look, if you're a Christian, you have this wonderful inheritance that you are looking forward to. Live for that day. It is a wonderful thing you're looking forward to. And he said, here and now, we are being built into a spiritual house. Do you remember that last time? That we are being built into a new temple, as it were, with Christ as the cornerstone. That is what God is doing among us. Flick back, please, to the next page, to the passage that we had read. And now what Peter is doing is, having said that we are, that that's who we are, that's what we're looking forward to, he now says, okay, now, as God's people, as aliens, as strangers in the world, how should you live? What difference should it make to the way you live? Now, we need to be clear. We need to make sure that we get those sort of two sections of the letter clear in our minds. It can be tempting, particularly if you're not a Christian, maybe, to assume that being a Christian is just about living a certain way. It is about doing good. It is about being good. Be nice. Help people. You know, be like a good Boy Scout. Do your one good turn a day. Get your badges for doing good things. And that is what being a Christian is. But that isn't being a Christian. You've got, first off, to realise being a Christian is, first of all, about God doing a work in your life. About him making you one of his people. You've got to have that first. And then, in the light of that, what does it mean to live? That's the way God always does things in the Bible. He always calls his people to himself and then tells them how to live. He did it, if you remember, in the Old Testament, when he called the people out of slavery. He took them to the mountain. He rescued them first, then gave them the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments. It's the way God works. So we've got to remember in this letter as well, as we get into the detail of how to live this out day by day, we've got to remember it's all in the light of what God has done for us and who we are in Christ. Very important. Now, we're going to see then, as we start getting into this next section about how we're to live, we're going to see three things in this passage that was read. First is we're going to see the general principle, how to live as Christians, as aliens and strangers in the world. And then we're going to think about it. We're going to see what Peter says about living under authorities. And he will first talk about under the governing authorities and then under, well, slaves and masters. We're going to apply it to employers, employees, and teachers and pupils. And so we'll go that way. So those sort of three things. General principle, how to relate to governing authorities, how to relate to your boss. Okay, that's where we're heading. First off, general principle. And the general principle is this: flee evil and do good. Let me show you that that's what's in the verses. It's verses 11 and 12. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So you see there, verse 11 clearly saying, abstain from sinful desires. In other words, flee evil. Don't indulge in evil. And verse 12 they're saying, but rather be good. Do good things. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe as you read that, as you hear me say that, you might be slightly underwhelmed at this strategy for living in as aliens and strangers in the world. But this is what God has given to us. And maybe we are underwhelmed because we don't realise the battle that is going on. And Paul outlines that battle in those two verses. There's a battle inside and a battle outside. Did you see them in the verses? It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Peter is saying there is a war going on, a battle raging over your soul. And the way to deal with it, the way to fight this battle, is to abstain from sinful desires. Now, Peter doesn't say this is only true of some of you. This is true of all of us. There is no one who is immune. Just because you're an ordained clergyman doesn't mean to say you don't have sinful desires that you need to battle against. And for all of us, however long we've been a Christian, we need to engage in this, to put aside, to abstain from sinful desires. And they are dangerous because they are waging war against your soul. So, each of us, we need to engage in that battle to abstain from sinful desires, but rather to do good. And this is where the battle outside comes into play in verse 12. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter assumes everyone who is a Christian, he assumes that Christians are going to be maligned. He assumes that people are going to speak badly of them. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because that's not our assumption, is it? We like to assume that basically people will be nice to us. And that if we say we're Christians, we probably expect that they'll just ignore that. But we don't expect, generally, that people will malign us. That people will speak bad things of us. And yet Peter says, well, yeah, that's just what I'm going to assume. That that's what people will do. And how do we wage war in that battle? By doing good. Not by fighting back evil with evil, but by being good, by doing good things. So there's the principle, the overall principle for how to live in this world. It's flee evil and do good. Now that doing good isn't a substitute for speaking about Christ. Some people have assumed that all that we need to do as Christians out there in the world is just to be good, and hopefully people will become Christians. And that is the hope, isn't it? That's the hope in verse 12. That they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. In other words, that they'll become Christians. But clearly, putting together other places in Scripture as well, it's not simply a case of I just do good things and then people around me will just suddenly become Christians. I also need to speak to them the good news of Jesus, which is why it was so encouraging, wasn't it, to hear from Paula about that opportunity she had to speak something about Jesus. And we need to be praying for more opportunities like that. But clearly, if we're speaking of Jesus, but our lives are just horrific, and people go, well, he's a Christian, but, you know, frankly, his lifestyle just doesn't match up to that. It's not going to back up the messages. It's not going to help people to take the message seriously. So we need to be clear that, yes, we need to speak of Jesus, but we do need to flee evil and do good. Okay, how does this work out? And this is where we get into the second point, second of the authorities, the first of the authorities that Peter speaks about, our second point this morning, relating to the authorities. And the first one is submitting to the governing authorities. And that's verses 13 to 17. So he says, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. What's the big headline there? It is submit. Submit to those governing authorities. Now, why does Peter go straight in on that one? It's interesting that the first sort of practical thing that he gets into is how you relate to the governing authorities. Why does he do that? Well, I think it's because of this. He has just described in the previous passage, he's just described who Christians are. So if you glance back to verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now, as we said last time, that is a reference back in the Old Testament to how God described his people then, the Israelites. Well, how did the Israelites live? They lived as a nation. They were together. They had their land that God gave them. They had the government that God gave to them, the king that God told them to have. And that is how they were to live. So now, with Peter saying, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, how should you be? Should you then get together and form a nation, form a land, take over a land? And as Christians, we set up our own nation. Should we go and do that? Well, the answer is no. The answer is, no, you should live now under the authorities that there are. Don't separate yourselves off in a holy huddle. Live in the world under the authorities God has put there. And what's the motivation? Notice the motivation for submitting to the authorities. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. So as you're submitting to the authorities, you're doing it. Your motivation is, I want to submit to God. I want to please God. I want to do this for the Lord's sake. And therefore I will submit to the authorities that there are around me. It is part of my devotion to God that I do this. Well, now, you might well say, well, okay, that's nice in theory, but we live in a land where the government is increasingly going against what the Bible says, increasingly going against what God says. So should we really submit to that authority? Maybe you think of things like the abortion laws in this country, which go against God's word and how that is misused and doesn't promote the sanctity of life that's clearly in the Bible. Or you think about laws, marriage laws, which are changing, where two men or two women will be able to get married. Well, that's against what the Bible says. Should we maybe say, well, that's a nice principle, but we can't submit to this authority now? Don't forget the time when Peter was writing. With fairly sure that Peter was probably writing at the time of the Emperor Nero. May not have been at the extreme of the persecutions under Nero, but it was a pretty horrific time. And at some point along the way, you were getting Christians being thrown to wild animals, sewn into the skins of other animals and thrown to wild animals to be ripped apart. You had Christians being burnt as human torches. The persecution of Christians was going to get pretty severe. Peter was not writing this under a Christian emperor where there were Christian laws. And so when Peter says submit to the authorities, he does so in a position where Christians were getting a rough time. And if that's true for them, we too need to submit to the authorities who are over us. And our hope, verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Well, that's clearly speaking again about those who would speak badly of Christians, and that they would be silenced because we're living good lives, because we're living under the authorities. Now, are there limits to this submission to the authorities? Well, yes, there are. Have a look again, verse 16. It says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honour the king. Now, it seems that there is a difference there in the different relationships that there are in verse 17. You are to love the brotherhood of believers, excuse me, fear God, honour the king. So who is it you're to fear? You're to fear God, not the king. So if the king, if the authorities tell you to do things which are against God's word, you don't do it. If they command you to disobey God, you don't do it. But nevertheless, he does still say, honour the king. Now, this sort of drawing the line of saying, look, if you command me to do things which are against the Bible, then I won't do what you say. You do see that elsewhere in the Bible. So in Acts chapter 4, don't worry about turning it up, but you do get Peter is commanded by the authorities not to preach Christ. And Peter says, well, you know, you judge for yourselves, which is it better, for us to obey you or to obey God? And so he goes out and he preaches about Christ. So there are times when you have to say, I'm not going to do what the authorities say, because it's against what God tells me to do. Let me give you a few practical things, just to take away, mull over, and think maybe these are ways that we need to change. First is, in relation to the governing authorities, first is that we must submit to the government, even on the very small things, the big things and small things. The way you download your music, if you download music, where you download it from, the speed we drive in our cars, to the taxes we pay. However small those things may seem to us, our attitude needs to be, we're going to submit to the authorities. Second, we've got to be careful how we speak about the authorities, how we speak about those in government. With those at work, with others, and particularly before our children. That when we disagree with what those in government are doing and the laws that they are decreeing, that we do so with respect. And we need to try to help our children to live with a submissive attitude towards authorities. I think that is quite countercultural. There is quite a prevalent culture of just being disrespectful towards authorities. But actually, I think the Bible is saying to us here, no, that's not right. We need to bring up our children to respect authority. Because actually, I think, after all, if they won't respect parents, if they won't respect the civil authorities, what chance have they got of actually respecting the ultimate authority, namely God? So we've got to be careful how we speak of the authorities. Nicknames, deriding those in government, that sort of thing. I think we need to be really careful how we do that. And if you're in a group with others where they're doing it, I think you've just got to say, I'm not going to join in with that. And thirdly, if you wanted to, you could read things to get yourself more informed about how you could object to things that the government are doing and just be more informed. Christian Institute comes out with a leaflet and they do an email as well. We've put a load of their leaflets on the bookstall again, actually, as you go out. So if you go out and you grab one of those, they're free, take one of them. And that just gets you a bit more informed about what's going on. So those are a few practical things. So, we must flee evil and do good in relation to the governing authorities. Next one. I know it's the third point, but it's going to come up as the second point. I'm sorry, that's been confusing, hasn't it? I should get my points better sorted out. But this is it. Submit to your employer or teachers. Now, in the context, Peter here, in the next bit, is writing to slaves, household slaves. It's interesting, the words are slightly interchangeable, but actually it's servants, it's household servants in verse 18. We are called to be, interestingly, in verse 16, the word used there of our relationship to God is that we're to be slaves of God, which is interesting. But now he, in verse 18, addresses servants. Now, just notice here, Peter is not sort of advocating slavery. If you've got that in your mind, Peter is not advocating slavery. He's just saying, look, if you are a servant, if that's the role you're in, how should you live? He's not advocating it, and certainly not the slavery that you'd probably have in your minds when you think of slaves. But he's saying, look, if you are in that situation, if you are a servant, how should you relate to your master? Now, the parallels aren't exact. I mean, the parallels aren't exact for you and your employer or your teacher. I mean, you may feel that they're slave drivers, but the parallels aren't exact because probably you in your job, you might well feel, well, you know, if things get bad, I could always move. I could change job. I could do something different. Whereas slaves then probably wouldn't have been able to do that. And again, you may feel, well, at school I could complain to someone. Well, again, where could they go if they wanted to complain? Well, they can go anywhere. So the parallels aren't exact, but I think there are still really important principles for us to pick out from these verses. And the big picture, again, is submit, isn't it? Verse 18, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So he's saying, look, no matter what they're like, submit to them. And again, the motivation is important. Verse 19, for it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. You see, if you're in a workplace situation where you are suffering unjustly, and maybe it's something where you feel, I can't go to anyone else about this. Maybe it's not big enough, or you just feel, look, I don't want to lose this job. I can't lose this job, and I'm suffering here. Or maybe at school you're feeling, look, something's happened here which just isn't fair, but it's something I can't really go and talk to someone else about. I mean, I would encourage you to, if you can. The answer there is actually to submit to those in authority over you. Now, clearly, verse 20. Verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Well, yeah, I mean, if at school, if you just don't work hard, if you just don't do the work and you've got a detention, you can't sort of go in there in a kind of, I'm doing this for Christ kind of way. Or at work, if, you know, you're just shoddy in your work and you get saying, I'm being persecuted. No, you're not. You're just shoddy at your work. No, that's not a good thing. But, he says, carrying on verse 20, if you suffer for doing good and endure it, that's commendable before God. Notice that. If you're suffering for doing good, God sees it, and it is commendable. God knows what you're going through. And then it's interesting, what Peter does here next is he then raises up Christ and he says, remember Christ, and remember that Christ's sufferings are a model for you and how you are to live, how you are to be, whether at work or at school. So he says, verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So Peter is saying, here is your model, here is your example, Christ. As Christ suffered, so you at work. Take the cross to work with you. If you remember in 2006, I don't know how you pronounce the lady's name, Nadia Awada, maybe. She worked for British Airways. And if you remember, she wore a cross because she was a Christian and they told her not to wear it. And in the end, excuse me, BA backed down and she was allowed to wear the cross. Well, the issue actually is not whether we're going to wear a cross to work. The issue is whether we're going to live out the cross at work or at school. Will we live for Christ? Living cross-shaped lives where we are. Yes, there are to be limits to your submission. Again, if your employer or if your teacher tells you to do things that are against the Bible, you don't do it. But again, this then says, well, how do you speak about those in authority over you? Your boss, your teachers, with your friends at school. How do you speak about them? Do you speak about them in a respectful way or not? Now, if you're finding this hard, then just remember, verse 21, you have a calling. Verse 21, to this you were called. It's interesting, isn't it, that lots of people talk about vocations, or they talk about having a calling, and they will often talk about that with those who go into full-time paid Christian ministry, that, you know, have you had a calling to this? I think that's not particularly helpful language, actually, because I don't think the Bible uses that of full-time paid gospel workers. I think if you've got the gifts, if you've got the ability, and your church think you should do it, then you should do it. But you have a calling. We all have a calling. This is your vocation. Verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. That's how you're to be. That is your calling. And how did Jesus treat that unjust suffering? He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So in the end, Jesus was saying, I'm suffering now, but God, I trust you that you are the judge. And that is how we're to be as well in terms of the workplace. So, how are we to live as aliens and strangers in the world? We are, first, general principle to flee evil and do good. Second, submit to the governing authorities. And third, submit to your employer or teachers. Now, if in that you're feeling, I don't know how to live in this particular situation, do have a chat with me on the door, or take it to your home group as well and say, look guys, I'm trying to live this out. Help me. How do I live in this workplace, in this situation, for Jesus? And that'd be a great thing to get your home group, because home groups are there to help you live for Jesus every day. So take that to your home group, ask them, and get them to pray for you in your situation. Let's pray now. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, please, you would help us to live for Christ every day, to live for Christ in the workplace and in relation to the authorities. Father, please help us to flee evil and to do good. And therefore, Father, please help us to change the way we think, the way we speak, the way we are in relation to those in authority over us. Amen.